Hey, so I've been listening to about half a podcast now. You got a pretty good show, and I think I'm going to continue listening to more. Keep up the great work, guys. Love it so far. Listen to the Simon Says episode. Only about maybe halfway through, but, you know, enough to pull me in. Thanks, guys.
So is Big Gun a guy or just a big gun? This is the last action hero on Stinker Madness.
What's that smell?
I don't know about you, but I'm thirsty as fuck. Thirsty as fuck.
Hey, look at me!
Thrill me.
If you come back in here, I'm gonna hit you with so many rights, you're gonna beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Beg for a left.
Thrill me.
Hey, look at me!
No! What? Hangers!
It stinks.
Hangers!
This is the chopper!
Stinker Madness.
Hello and welcome to Stinker Madness, the podcast about bad movies by bad movie lovers for bad movie lovers. I'm your host, and with me as always, my name is actually Justin, and there is Simon Jackie here as well. So
Simon Jackie's the the judge that tells everyone that they failed.
Maybe
that's right.
I should have done that. Like
what crap.
What's that warm-up that stage actors do? Cannabis.
Yeah. Rubber baby buggy bumpers.
Right? I should have done one of those before showing up today.
Yeah, not to mention that you were pretty flat when you introduced the movie. I mean, this is an action film.
The last one.
Bang, bang. this is Arnold Schwarzenegger's sixth appearance on the Stinker Madness podcast. Arguably one of his biggest flops, I believe.
He attributes it to being the beginning of the end of his career.
Then came back and... Because this is 93. That's kind of a bold statement.
It's his first failure and things aren't good afterwards.
Wasn't like Red Heat a failure? Conan the Destroyer was a failure, wasn't it?
No. Huh. People went to... They loved it. It sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks. Red Heat doesn't suck. It's not good, but it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
This is the, like, yeah, after this, you get, like, Eraser.
Yeah. Which was a success, but not
barely.
Good. Right.
The Sixth Day.
When did he go into politics?
That was 2002, I think. Right after his last movie was Terminator 3, so whatever that one
was. He wasn't in Terminator 3, was he? That was
he was?
CGI.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm thinking of the one with...
Rise of the Machines.
Christian Bale.
Yeah, no.
That one he wasn't in.
A computer guy was.
Yeah. They had to pay him anyway.
Right.
And then they had to pay somebody to make something that looked like him.
Sort of.
Seems like a good way to spend money twice.
We're here to talk about Last Action Hero. Also, first, I want to plug at the end of this episode, if you came for the SMAB nominations, we will be talking about that at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. Visit us at stinkermadness.com. Follow us on Facebook, Facebook? Facebook.com/stinkermadness, Twitter.com/stinkermadness. Subscribe to us on Patreon. Help us out with getting some better equipment and pay for some of the movies that we have to watch that are on Vudu. Patreon.com/stinkermadness. If you don't want to contribute, you can still get one of our t-shirts by going to teespring.com/stinkermadness or going to stinkermadness.com and clicking on the store icon, where you can also click on the phone icon.
Ooh.
And call us.
But at the very least, if you just listen, you still make me happy.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, that was our first voicemail that anybody left us that played at the start of the show today. So,
oh,
yeah. Pretty cool stuff. But yeah, it's a good way to reach out to us and tell us what you think about the show. And we'll if you got something clever, cool, interesting to say, we'll play it on the episode. Or you could just email us at talk@stinkermadness.com and tell Jackie and Sam that they smell like pee.
It's because I pee on myself.
Yeah, that's the one way to
that
do
way
it.
No one will steal my pants.
That's right.
And if you pee on yourself enough, it'll dribble into your shoes, and they'll still steal your shoes, as evidenced later in this episode.
Do you prefer pee and in your pants and shoes rather than just writing your name on them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, what is that? if someone could steal my pants and then just pretend to be me.
Hi, I'm Sam.
Then they've stolen my identity as well. The fucking cocksuckers.
But then if they steal your pants, they've stole your pee too. Which
means
that
they can
clone
you. And they don't want it.
Yeah, but they could clone you. They got your DNA.
Yeah, whereas if you piss in your shoes, it's natural protection against athlete's foot.
Is it really?
Yes.
I start peeing in my shoes.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Science.
If you have heartburn, drink some pickle juice.
Sam, tell us about Last Action Hero.
Well, this was Sony had bought in Columbia a couple years before this, and they're using Columbia as like a, we're gonna fuck shit up in Hollywood. This thing had a hard release date the week after Jurassic Park. They knew Jurassic Park was coming.
Everybody knew
Jurassic Park was coming. The novel sold because Jurassic Park was coming.
Correct. Right.
Jurassic Park was a kingmaker for everyone involved with it. It wasn't already a king. That's the damn problem.
Right.
Half of them are already kings.
Sure.
And Sony's like, we're going to take your ass down. Tragically, the screenplay, both McTiernan and Schwarzenegger said that the first draft, what was purchased by Columbia Pictures, was the best screenplay they'd ever read in terms of a satire. They're like, this is absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. Sony's like, it's not big enough.
Right.
It's written to satire the films of the 90s, a lot of them written by Shane Black. So who does Sony bring in to do the rewrite, make it bigger? Shane Black.
Right. Yeah. Nothing like a little introspective on yourself, but not understanding that it's an introspective on yourself.
Yeah. So they get done with that draft and Schwarzenegger's like, I'm not doing the film anymore unless it's rewritten again. So they bring in William Goldman, who does a $1 million touch up. So because Schwarzenegger was like, these characters aren't any good. Now we have to bring back the characters. So they bring in William Goldman to bring back the characters, at which point, who's to say whether anyone was happy with it? Because now you still got to go, because remember, we're fucking Jurassic Park in the butt.
Right.
We're on a schedule here. So they get this thing's first test audience the week before it came out.
Oh, my God.
They weren't done editing. It wasn't even really a test audience. I guess it was a rough cut that was like 2.5 hours long, and most of the dialogue was inaudible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So then they release it the next week. They got it buttoned up. McTiernan's like, I don't give a shit what anyone says. The fact that we got this thing buttoned up
right.
and out is a fucking miracle.
Yeah, I can only imagine the hours that those guys were.
It was impressive.
I mean, you're probably sleeping in the editing booth for four
Absolutely.
Hours
they
a
were,
day.
They had a team of editors.
Yeah, right.
However, even though things went poorly, obviously it didn't interrupt the success of Jurassic Park
no,
in the least.
No. I would have liked, in your research, I would have liked to known what movie finally dethroned Jurassic Park from number one. I bet you it was like
Jurassic Park 2, actually. And only for a week, because people were like, oh, this sucks. And they went back and watched Jurassic Park again.
Number one. 7 years running.
That's what happened with E.T. So
yeah, pretty much.
Anytime anybody says E.T., I immediately think of stale peanut butter.
Or a turd that wanders around and touches children.
True. Yeah.
Yeah. He's creamy, Mr. Hanky, the space alien.
Creamy turd. Robin Gibbons at the premiere, however, the co-host of, or not really co-host, I think she's the producer for Howard Stern.
Okay.
She said it was the best movie she'd ever seen.
I thought Robin Gibbons was Mike Tyson's wife.
Maybe that's it, too.
That he got in trouble for smacking around.
It's the Howard Stern Robin, whatever her name is. Robin Lively? Blake Lively? Blake Shelton?
George Bush.
George Bush, too, actually uses Big Gun as his theme song when he walks out of his shower.
Right.
Yeah. And then he goes and mends his fences.
Robin Givens, I thought, was the Entertainment Tonight lady.
It's the Howard Stern get lady is the
okay,
one I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoever she is.
Yeah.
Best movie she ever saw. Well, I'm not sure she's wrong.
Yeah. Part of the promotions for this was, and when we were watching it, I said that this isn't the first SDDS movie. It was. Hook was supposed to be, but they fucked it up.
What's SDDS?
Sony Digital Dynamic Sound. So it was the, not only fuck you, Jurassic Park, fuck you, Lucasfilms.
Right, fuck you, THX.
Mm-hmm, fuck you, THX. This thing had that.
We're setting the standard now.
Ha ha.
Just like our micro disc, or our, what what were those things?
Mini disc. There was 10 fucking mini disc product placements in this movie.
HD, DVD. What else did Sony set the standard for? And then
was HD DVD them, or was it Super CD?
I thought it was Super CD and HD DVD.
Why, they only did one of them. Somebody else had the other. I think Philips had the other format. Maybe. That's definitely Tiki Barber information, though.
Oh, okay.
So I would not.
Well, they definitely did not screw THX, because that is still in my car.
Yeah, Jackie has THX.
In my stereo.
I believe one of the other things that was defining about THX is it's just for the filmmaker process, it's way easier to use.
Yeah.
So, and they had already sort of set the stage for filmmaking innovation, where Sony had mini discs and shit like that.
Right. Walkman, though. Woo! Ha, that was, they got it right that time.
Their Walkmans were pretty good.
That's the reason that Sony exists. Yeah. The Walkman, they were like Sony, they're okay, I guess. And then the Walkman happened, and now everything is a Sony.
And Adam Sandler can still have a job thanks to the Walkman.
Absolutely. And Netflix, apparently.
Yeah.
$85 million is what this thing cost in 93.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but the reason it only cost $85 million is because it was rushed, and they decided to spend more than that on the marketing.
Yeah, sure. Oh, this was everywhere.
Everywhere. And I, you know, Schwarzenegger was apparently had vetoed the toy line. I remember there being a toy line, though.
I do not.
Okay. I do.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that there was a toy line. They had commercials for it.
Like the 13-inch jobbers?
Whenever you want to have a toy line fail, 13-inch jobbers.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it would have been. It says there wasn't. It says that's where they drew the line. But they did everything else, including advertising in space.
Oh.
They drew the Last Action Hero. They paid NASA.
They launched Schwoz to the moon, and he punched it at Last Action Hero with his fist, and you can still see it today.
No, they painted the Last Action Hero ad on the side of one of the rockets sending up a satellite.
Dude, they did have toys.
All right. So they even denied Schwoz his no toy line in the sand that he had drawn for them.
Right, they Tiki Barbered themselves. So, are they cool, Jackie? What's the reporting coming from the other side of the studio?
Okay, so it looks like he comes, Last Action Hero, Jack Slater.
Right. Jack Slater.
Comes with some plastic shit that, okay, yep. One looks like a brick wall. It looks like two hand weights.
Okay.
It looks like one of those steel beams, like a really short one, and then, like, I think that's supposed to be dynamite, but it looks like two packs of rope. What do you think, Sam? And it has the golden ticket on the front.
Okay.
I see a... Well, he's got weights, bricks, and part of an I-beam. It looks like dynamite with a noose. Like you hang somebody with the dynamite and then blow them up, maybe.
Yeah, that's the thing. I can't tell what the hell it is.
How does one play with these toys? I mean, what are you doing? Is he like fighting your G.I. Joes, or like is he punching bricks through Transformers?
I think that what happened in reality is any kid that got that toy for Christmas
had for themselves.
No, they had other toys, and he was always the one that was getting the shit kicked out of him by the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's.
Everybody has that toy.
Holy crap. I found another one, and it is one of the big dolls.
It's a 13-inch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went both ways. That's too bad.
Well, I wonder if Last Action Hero Jack Slater can play with Turbo Man, you know, those two. And then if you have Turbo Man and Jack Slater, you have no friends.
Or there's somewhere in there that he's playing with himself. I'm not sure.
Right. He breaks the fourth wall. So, and it's metaphysical.
They have different Jack Slater toys.
Okay.
So the first one we looked at was Dynamite Jack Slater. And then they have Heat Hero packing Jack Slater.
Heat Hero? What? Like, does
Heat
he have...
Hero. He's got, it looks like a giant jackhammer thing. I can't even tell what the hell that is.
Huh.
And then they have Undercover Jack.
Okay.
And it comes with a trench coat, and it looks like...
Sunglasses and one of those Groucho Marx disguises.
He's got an MPD shirt on, like tank top thing that they just painted over the top of his other outfit. And then you can get the Evil Eye Benedict.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
There could be a villain.
I should mention that the Charles Dance, two contrasting reports. One was that he replaced Timothy Dalton. The other one is that he was chosen because Alan Rickman was too expensive.
Right.
Which the latter is supposed to be the truthful thing, because apparently Charles Dance made a t-shirt and wore it on set that says, "I'm cheaper than Alan Rickman."
So the Evil Eye Hero comes with two badge type things that are just pictures of his different eyes. And you can't really change his eyes. And then it looks like he's got a brass knuckle and a gun. Check this out. I can't even tell what that little white thing is, but it looks like either an egg carton or a weird brass knuckle.
It's not brass knuckles. I think they're plug-in eyes. I think it's a set of plug-in eyes.
You would
that
just
you get
lose
with him.
Them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'd probably lose the toys in general because they suck.
All right. Is that all you got, Sam? What were the numbers on this? You said $85 million.
$85 million is what it cost. It made back $50 domestically.
Yeah, that's a flop. But
when you put ads in space, it's a major flop.
It is.
Apparently got to 137 worldwide, but at that point, worldwide numbers, they were giving away tickets overseas, so it's like, eh. The last thing is that it's such a disappointment, not just financially. It killed Art Carney and Professor Tanaka.
Oh no!
The last appearances of Art Carney and the famed Professor Tanaka, Japanese wrestler who we all remember from Bond films and things like that.
Correct. Yeah. Odd job.
Actually, I don't know if he's Odd Job. He just looks like Odd Job. That's the thing. We always get that screwed up.
Or what was his name in Austin Powers? Throws a shoe. Random Task,
yeah. Which is Odd Job. Yeah. So he's not. Yeah, he's in James Bond because he's dead. The guy that looks like him is in Austin Powers.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're playing the same spoof of themselves.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, let's get into this, Jackie, shall we?
Yeah. I don't have anything else to report on the toy line.
Good job. We open on a huge police operation, the biggest. It's like four times any operation that Riggs and Murtaugh ever got involved in. There's cops everywhere.
I don't even know how many... I mean, it would take 3 days to get those cop cars parked like that.
Absolutely. It's at an elementary school, and maybe that's why. There's a lunatic on top of the roof, and he's got the kids held hostage. And he's shooting at the cops and blowing their cars away. And they're like, we can't do anything. We can't get past this guy's machine gun. He's just too dangerous. What are we going to do for these children? I know what you do. You bring in Jack Slater.
He just shows up.
He brings himself.
And he's walking over the cop cars. He's got cowboy boots on.
Snakeskin.
Yep.
That's an important detail because only super badass dudes wear snakeskin boots.
That is true.
Wasn't above the law, or Hard to Kill was 91, wasn't it?
Somewhere there, yeah.
Yeah, I believe that when he's walking across the tops of the cars, remember the scene when he's jumping on the cars in Hard to Kill?
Yeah.
It was because this is a screenplay written about other screenplays satirically.
Right.
That's one of the most notable screenplays because in the script, he's not just jumping. It says he's jumping from car to car like a night eagle.
Oh my God. He was not jumping car to car as a night eagle in this one.
No, he's just walking across them calmly because he doesn't need to.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, his captain's there, and he's the cliche yell and scream endlessly.
Yeah.
I want your badge and your gun, Slater. You're going to blow this whole thing up. You're too much of a weapon of mass destruction to go in there. And he's like, oh, yeah? Well, kiss my ass.
Mm-hmm.
He just throws his badge at him.
Right.
But the one thing, though, that I'm going to say it, and it's going to sound mean, but the chief guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He was hard to look at because he had this weird goose egg in the center of his head.
I think because he had to yell so hard during the entire production, that just like the blood just pooled right there. Like
a burst vessel.
Like he died 6 times from brain aneurysms
from
yelling during this production. You can't pick on him, Jackie.
I kind of thought maybe he was one of those walruses with a horn.
Ooh.
And they shaved off his mustache and cut his horn off, and they're like, now you're a movie star.
Yeah.
Is it a narwhal?
Yeah, a narwhal.
Yeah. Those are not walruses. They're whales.
Oh, well, whatever.
They got a horn and they...
They got a horn and a mustache in
my mind.
High
blood pressure.
Yep.
So he goes in. He's like, you can't stop me. I mean, you can't stop me. I'm Jack Slater. And my favorite line that's ever been captured in film happens right here. Walks up to one of the SWAT guys. And I guess he's like blocking him from getting into the elementary. Like, I'll stop Jack Slater. And he's like, you ought to be a farmer. Why? Because he has a couple of acres. I kicks him right in the balls.
Yeah.
And he goes flying.
He kicks him so hard in the balls that he goes flying, and his radio launches up into the sky, and Jack Slater catches it. And it's like, I'm going in.
And then crushes it with his hands.
That's how badass he is.
Oh, I love it. Like, I'm sorry, but at this point, there's two types of people that are at the theater. Those that are currently leaving, and then there's everybody who is jumping up and down in their seats going, fuck yeah! Yeah. So it gets to the roof.
I don't get the acreage joke.
Jackie, a couple acres.
I don't get it.
Like, your balls are aching. They're now acres.
Oh!
Here's a couple acres.
Oh my God.
Thanks, Jack Slater.
Grow some corn on them.
Okay, now it's funny.
Jesus.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it until just now.
Live radio, folks.
Oh my God. Okay.
I didn't get, which you haven't seen, the Three Amigos, so I won't tell the joke, but there's a mail plane. And I didn't get that joke for like 15 fucking years. And it's funny because in the scene, Chevy Chase doesn't get it. And when I finally got it, I was like, this whole time I've been Chevy Chase, yep, not getting that joke.
Right. Yeah. You still are. Jack Slater gets to the roof and there's this axe guy. And we find out his name is the Ripper.
And it's Tom Noonan. Great actor.
Yeah, he is. He looks great. Like the makeup.
Monster bad guy. Yeah.
Monster bad guy. I think that this should be more of a character. Because the whole film lampoons other action films. But I think that this character is kind of unique.
He's got some hearkening. There's some shout-outs, though, because he's got the chainmail vest like Bennett.
Bennett, sure.
But then I don't really know what...
And he wears a raincoat and works with an axe. And he's a maniac.
A very badass axe, because it's just not any axe.
You're right.
It's got, like, bullshit on the back, and it's got some engraving.
It's
a nice axe.
It's like the axe that you find for the endgame content of Gauntlet.
Sure.
Like, I've got the axe of
Mordor.
The Ripper. Yeah. Right.
It's sort of, but it's like, it's a fireman's axe, but then it's got like, it's like been enchanted by the high elves and given to the dwarf king.
Right.
It's somewhere in between those two things, right? Fireman's axe and something that a dwarf would carry to battle.
Yeah, I would like to see this this villain appear in more films. Just the maniac that can't be stopped and is plotting against. I mean, because usually the villain of action films is some greedy corporate guy. You know, there's embezzling or money laundering or drugs or
it wasn't
human trafficking. Just like, money is the goal for the villain, or power. I like the concept of a maniac who just wants chaos, other than the Joker. Why? I mean, because this guy's basically the Joker.
Well, he's also a callback to the 80s slasher films, too, because those guys were just maniacs.
Right. But those are slasher films. You don't have slasher villains in action movies, typically.
Typically, no.
And I think it would be fun. Anyways, so he's like, oh, yeah, well, I got your kid, dude. What are you going to do, Jack Slater? Remember, it's your fault that I'm free anyways, because you're such a rogue cop that the last time you arrested me, I got out because everything that you did was inadmissible. Also, you blew up like half the city trying to catch me, so.
Yep.
So drop your guns. All of them.
Whoa, there's a few.
This was awesome.
Yeah, I love this joke.
They made a list on IMDb that I was like, I should... And it was so long that I was like, oh, Jesus. There's a lot of guns.
And some knives.
Oh, and a grenade. That's the last thing. Oh, yeah. I forgot I got the grenade. I don't know why my schwa's just went very French.
Watch out. Don't parry.
Chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
I will stab you with these baguette.
Spaghetti.
So he chucks the grenade at his at the guy's feet with his kid right there, and he's like, "Oh sure, Jack. Yeah, you're gonna blow up your kid just to get to me." And he's like, "Cool as a cucumber." He's like, "Of course I am. I'll do anything to catch you. Are you really into take that risk? Are you taking that chance right now, Ripper?" And he like winks at the kid or something, and the kid picks up the grenade.
Yeah.
Because the grenade's not actually a grenade. It's a knife grenade.
It's a grenade knife.
There's a blade in it.
Harkening back to the knife gun.
Right.
Yeah, which is by far the best weapon ever.
However, the knife gun is actually a thing. And the grenade knife, ballistic knives, they're highly illegal because they're so dangerous. Not for, you know, you can only kill one person with it.
Right.
That person's probably going to be yourself. Loading the grenade knife or the ballistic knife is a problem.
Especially if you're using like two rubber bands as a slingshot and it just flings around and hits you right in the eye.
Yeah. The grenade knife, though, is a thing because I saw one
at
the old surplus store that we had that closed years ago, Copple's Browseville, which I used to love to go in because there was bullshit like that all the time. And I was like, oh, grenade knife. And what I was with was like, but what can you do with it? Because it's not really a grenade. And making a grenade the handle of a 4-inch knife makes it a shitty knife.
Right. It pretty much only works in this scenario.
Yeah.
Well, we don't get to know what happens in the scene because, we're watching a movie. The film cuts out. It goes out of focus. And then we're introduced to Danny, who is in the theater watching it as we're watching it.
Yes.
And Danny is a precocious little scamp. How old do you think Danny is? 12?
13, 14?
Yeah, I think he's 14. I think they say that in the film.
All right.
That he's 13 or 14. They do make grenade knives.
Yeah, he just told you.
Yeah,
I had to look him up. I'd never seen one before. They are pretty cool.
Okay.
I'm putting it on my birthday list.
Try to keep up. So he's obsessed with films, this Danny. He loves action films. He knows all about all of them. He's seen, this is Jack Slater 3, and he's seen it like 15 fucking times.
Yeah.
And he's just continually hanging out at this shithole movie theater in a dumpy-sided town. The red light district, basically.
Yeah.
And his mom is like, she's a single mom. We don't know where his dad is.
She's a widow. They say that.
All right. Yeah. All right. Working hard, trying to keep it together. She loves him. Despite the fact that he is not attending school, he's just going to the movies constantly.
And this movie theater seems like something out of like Escape from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really run down.
It's super run down.
Well, you know, when you have restroom spray painted on the wall.
Well, at least
with
that's
a spray
helpful.
Can, you know, so that way you, instead of just the sign and the wallpaper looks like somebody, there was a slasher film there.
Yeah.
And somebody died.
Also, the projectionist lives in the projection booth.
Correct.
And he's befriended this kid. He lives in the projection booth. He shows him movies when he's supposed to be at school. How much more inappropriate could this relationship become? I mean,
oh, I can think of some.
Well, there's only one place left to go.
Right.
Right? But let's say it doesn't go there. There's very few bases left to cover in shouldn't be hanging out with this guy.
I think it's I don't know if inappropriate in the way that you're implying it is correct, but clearly not a good role model for this child to have. Like, don't go to school. Let's just watch Jack Slater movies, kid.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I'll admit, I'd you know, hang out and watch Jack Slater movies with whoever wanted to.
Yeah, that's not much of a choice.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you live in a projection booth, not very many people want to hang out with you.
Especially if you pee on yourself.
Yeah, right. But then they don't see
your
pants.
He's the grandpa from the Munsters.
Yes, that's true.
I recognized him right away.
So his name is Nick. And Nick tells Danny that, hey, tonight, I just happen to have, at midnight, a special showing. I got to check the film for the new Jack Slater film, Jack Slater 4. Would you care to take a peek with me?
Yeah.
So Danny's jacked. He's coming back at midnight tonight to watch the new Jack Slater film. First, he's got to go to school.
You think he stole this?
Who, Nick?
How does he get a hold of a copy of it? It's obviously not playing at his closed down theater.
And it's also hasn't premiered yet because the premiere of this film takes place later.
There was a heist film in between in between nothing and the first scene of this movie.
Yeah, yeah, for the film, the reel of Jack Slater 4. Just to show Danny. Anyways, so Danny's got to go to class. He's late because he wasn't watching this film at night. He was watching it in the morning, I guess.
Yeah. And
he said he was 4 hours late for school.
Yeah, dude.
Here's the deal. It only lasts 5 hours.
Right.
Finish the movie. You missed it today. Give it another shot tomorrow.
Right. Try again, buddy. And he does make it to class. And I guess as a 14-year-old child in New York, you take film study?
They're not doing film study, it's just theater. They're just reading Hamlet. It could be literature. Hamlet can fit in about anywhere you want. You can fit Hamlet into history-ish, but you could fit it into literature. We had to read a lot of plays when we were in high school.
Watch movies.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
But not at junior high.
In high school, we watched remember the Macbeth with Orson Welles.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that one was tough.
And it was like freshman year, so it was like very shortly removed from where he's at.
Well, he's watching Hamlet there, as you said. But he starts daydreaming and turns Hamlet into an action film starring Arnold Schwarzenegger as Hamlet. There's something wrong in Denmark.
Uh-huh.
And Arnold's going to clean it up. And it's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Oh, my God. This was one of the best scenes in the movie.
The movie needs to be these vignettes of Jack Slater in other stories.
Right.
And then the actual Jack Slater 4 movie.
Right. I agree. It would be like UHF in that kind of way too. Like
yes.
Fun movie vignettes. But I really like this Hamlet, action scene. It's pretty great. And it's shot pretty cool too.
You know, if Hamlet would have been like this in high school, I probably would have watched the whole thing.
Of course you would have.
It was that awesome. And I liked how he had the horse with the red cape thing.
Uh-huh.
And, oh man, it was just so cool.
And a Mac-10.
Yeah. And a machine gun.
He was like, I have guns. Fuck, I'm Hamlet.
To be or not to be. Not to be.
And then lights a cigar.
Yeah, blows up the castle.
So badass.
So he goes home, meets his mom, and they have some interaction. But she goes to work, I guess, and he's going to leave at midnight to go to the movie. But he has to sneak out of his apartment because he lives in such a shithole that he's scared about who might be looking for him. And sure enough, he gets burgled. Some burglar punches through the door and nabs him, and they go through this whole like weird, go ahead, take the knife, stab me. And he can't do it because I guess he's a pussy. The movie is saying? I don't know. I'm not going to stab a guy. Just take the shit, dude. Whatever. Get out of here, you fucking crazy man.
Yep.
Locks him to the toilet, and eventually he gets free. Goes to the cops. They can't help, which I guess is like this film is saying that his life sucks. Like, what's the scene do?
It helps support the fact that pre-Giuliani New York City was a shithole.
Right. Well,
Giuliani!
And that his family is poor and that they live in a destitute part of town.
Yeah, but why is that important to the plot?
Poor people rob each other.
Why is that important to the plot?
Because his life is not very good.
Yeah, I think.
And that's why he's clung on to Jack Slater.
I'll tell you why. Because William Goldman got $1 million to dust these characters off and turn them into people.
Right.
You think William Goldman was the one that wrote, he's got sores on his hands. Because he has sores on his hands that are inexplicable. Like, they're not, and they're in weird spots. They might be lesions. I don't know. He's got Ebola, maybe?
Ooh,
oh, my God.
Mm. Coming apart at the seams. He gets to the theater just in time, and Nick is like, hey, man, I was about to shut down, but I guess we can still do it. Also, by the way, I got a little something for you. It's a golden ticket, and it was given to me by Houdini, and it was given to Houdini by the greatest sorcerer in India, and then before him, the man that's on top of a mountain in Tibet, passed down by all these magic men, and I want you to have it.
Give us Houdini. The greatest skeptic in the history of magicians.
Magicians.
And I'm yours. Magicians. Like, he was a skeptic. He didn't like magic. Right. He's like, it's all sleight of hand and being able to escape. There's no real magic. They fucked up Houdini.
Right. The ticket, he does say, is a ticket to another world. I've never used it. I don't know if it works or not, but I want you to have it. Let's give it a go. And Danny's like, cool, sure. Tears it in half and puts it in the ticket slot.
So this is weird. Houdini gives you a ticket.
Uh-huh.
You don't give it to a 14-year-old boy. And you sure as fuck don't rip it in half.
Houdini didn't use it.
That's true.
He didn't use it.
It's true.
The people of ancient magic land had movie tickets.
Uh-huh.
They didn't use it.
They didn't use it.
But you're going to use it on this kid.
Maybe
because
he needs it more.
I think this relationship's about to get officially inappropriate. This is the confidence play right here.
Oh? He's a con man?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm conning my
way. He's conning him into things that we don't want to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, I do want to talk about what happens next. He sits down in the theater and starts watching Jack Slater 4.
Yeah, fucking A. It's about time Megadeth just showed up.
Yeah. What's that song called?
Angry Again.
Yeah, Angry
it's fucking Again. Awesome.
That's a pretty good track by them. It opens on a drug dealer named Vivaldi, I think is
Vivaldi.
His name. Yeah, he's like a Italian mobster type, or he's Sicilian.
Anthony Quinn, yeah, who's actually Mexican.
And he's nabbed Jack Slater's favorite second cousin.
Art Carney.
Yeah, Art Carney. Frank. He's my favorite just like, second cousin.
When you're watching this thing, every time you see something, you're just like, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Right.
Like, the price tag just goes up. The movie starts. Anthony Quinn, cha-ching. Who's he going to kidnap? Art Carney's only going to be in this for 10 minutes? Cha-ching.
Right. Who's the henchman? Charles Dance? Cha-ching.
But well, he was cheaper than Alan Rickman.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, he even the high school theater teacher or whatever.
Yeah, she's somebody.
She was somebody,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I can't remember who she was.
Everybody's somebody in this movie.
He's like, tell us what Jack Slater's up to, or where are the drugs, or what kind of money Danny, whatever he's trying to get the information from. But he's like, if you don't spill the beans, I've got a henchman over here who is an expert marksman. He's basically Bullseye from Marvel Comics.
Absolutely.
And he's even got a Bullseye glass eye.
Yep.
Are his glass eyes cool?
Yes. I liked them. I thought they were silly and awesome.
They work.
Within the context of this silly bullshit movie.
Yeah, Jack Slater 4, they're fine.
But
imagine if you told me, well, he's got a glass eye that's a target. We can't see out of a glass eye. So I'm not worried about getting shot by him.
Right. But maybe that helps. It singulars his focus.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was shooting from the glass eye side. Like, he just knows where you are and shoots you.
I guess that's true. Yeah. He's ready to kill, though. He's we're going to kill you. Fine. Whatever. Elsewhere, Slater pulls up to a drug bust that's right in the middle of it. They're taking down this guy's house, and it turns out to be Frank's house. Like, oh, there's nothing going on in there. There's no drugs. This is my favorite second cousin's house.
My favorite second cousin. He's got two bags of groceries.
Right. It's just coming by.
Hang out and eat lettuce together.
Favorite second cousin.
Yep.
Inside, though, Frank is there. He's tied up, and he's like, Vivaldi and the other gangs are...
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, they're getting together.
Chef YRD.
They're teaming up to take over the drug market, and Slater's like, yeah. Well, why would you say all these things? How would you know this? And Art Carney just goes, I'm out of here.
Dies. And then subsequently dies in real life not very long after that.
I'm out of here is awesome.
Yeah, like, it's...
Take that, Ben Kingsley. I'm out of here.
The only two times I've seen it in film are this and in Nowhere. And
right.
It's a fucking laugh riot both times.
Why? I mean, like, what kind of cynical asshole do you have to be like,
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. Hilarious. And on his lap is a bunch of notes. It's a fucking bomb timer written in fucking post-its.
They're not even post-its. They're flashcards. Right. You doing some math later? Wait, you're dead. What are these?
Five,
oh, wait a second.
Four,
oh, no.
Three, two. Also hilarious.
And then it's a bomb, and then you're like, budget, cha-ching, because this explosion is fucking
it's huge.
Huge. And it's not a miniature. They fucking blow up a house.
A house in a neighborhood, a crowded neighborhood,
yes.
Mind you. So they have to, like, cordon off, like, a two-block
this
radius.
This shit was spendy.
Yeah.
The police car gets flipped over from the front. The blowback is so...
Oh, like, yeah, they turn a
extreme.
Car, and then they wire three guys, because all three of the guys are wire-worked for the explosion. They fly.
Yeah.
One of them makes it. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Whatever. Those other two were up in the tree.
Oh, they didn't, yeah.
Because Danny is like, death. Danny is like, oh, don't worry, it's just a scratch on him. Other two cops, dead. They didn't make it. And sure as shit, Slater gets up and brushes himself off. And then the guy, one of the guys that's stuck in the tree, who is black and balding and bigger, says, 2 days from retirement, dies. Yeah. And then a saxophone plays in the background. Little shout out.
Shane Black.
Shouting out to himself.
No, he's going like, they're making fun of my movies. And they should, thank God. All right. I'll leave that in. William Goldman left it in, too.
I did get too old for this shit.
Then you've just got bad guys.
Yeah, there's a cleanup crew pulling in a truck with, like, dynamite. That's, like, their game. They're like
throwing dynamite and shooting submachine guns.
Yeah.
From a mint condition
1954 collector's car. Right.
It's like a red version of Cobra's truck.
Yeah.
And one of them has a fucking, like, coonskin hat.
Well, there's...
He's like a fur trapper.
One of these guys is Al Leon.
Yeah.
Your typical kung fu henchman.
Yes.
Butler. And the other guy is Clint Howard.
Yeah, and then there's a guy with a coonskin hat that makes it the longest in your life.
This is a great team up of baddies.
Even your nobodies are somebodies in this
movie. Yeah, absolutely. So they're chasing him and chucking dynamite at him, and he's shooting him out of the sky while he's driving his Bonneville or whatever this car is.
Yeah, it is a Bonneville.
And he shoots one into the movie theater, and Danny's like, what?
Tries to put it out with popcorn.
It doesn't work.
Weird. Popcorn.
And it explodes, and I guess it explodes him into the movie?
Into the car, yeah.
Hmm.
So now he's in the back seat.
Yeah, he's in Jack's car.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, don't shoot me. I'm just a little kid.
Who are you? I'm a kid.
Yeah, wait, he says that a couple of times. I'm a kid.
I'm a kid.
Oh, okay. He's writing this.
And this. When Al Leon dies.
The ice cream truck?
Yeah.
Shit is awesome.
Jack Slater shoots a guy out of the truck who flies into an ice cream van while holding one of the dynamites.
Yes.
The ice cream van explodes, launching an ice cream cone into the back of Al Leon's head.
And then you just see him fall over and the ice cream cone
is perfect.
He says
something too. We missed it. Watching it on Voodoo Rewind is too hard.
Yeah. Hilarious. And then he jumps his car into the LA River. Still driving along. There's guys chasing him. He jumps out of the LA River onto a Coke truck and then onto the street that I guess he wants to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And
the other people that are chasing him try to pull the same maneuver, just turn upside down and explode.
Yeah, I love that. Like, that's just good comedy right there. Because you could easily forget to even address that at all. But he gets trapped in an alley. It's a game of chicken with the pickup truck.
And it's a pink alley.
Yeah, he's like on a I think he's at the studios, isn't he?
Yeah, he is at the studios. Yeah. Even the kid says, like, it's a movie set. That's why we just changed scenes.
Yeah.
Okay. And Schwaz is just like, shut up.
We're not in a goddamn movie.
You're already annoying me.
I'm just a kid.
I had seen this at the theater, and by this time in the theater, I'm the same age as this kid, pretty much, and I have fucking had it with him. It's like, pick one, either be in the movie and enjoy it, or shut the fuck up. But what you're doing right now is ruining this for everybody.
Right, right. Yeah. So they play a game of chicken, which ends with the red truck exploding into a George Michael video. Boom, kaboom. He wins.
Yep.
Jack Slater.
Yep.
Ladies.
Yep.
Butts.
So he takes Danny to the LAPD headquarters, and this place is like not the LAPD headquarters. It's very like movie, like almost like Judge Dredd.
It's like the other one, Simon Phoenix.
Yeah, Demolition Man.
It's like a larger scale Demolition Man.
It's every
glam police station.
It's every police movie ever
in one place.
LA.
Yeah.
Goes to this one police station.
The T-1000's there. Robert Patrick's nice to see you, Robert Patrick.
We get the Sharon Stone cameo.
Yeah.
Dressed
she was
as
in here.
Apparently that took some doing.
Oh yeah.
She didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see why she did. She's in it for like one shot for half a second.
Yeah.
But the playing to the charisma of Arnold Schwarzenegger talked her into it, even though they had a miserable time shooting together on Total Recall.
There's a cartoon cop. Cartoon cop cat.
Well, there's also a Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart's there.
Yeah.
Everybody, it's cool. So Jack and the Chief are giving Danny the third degree. Like, how do you know all this stuff about us? You must have be a bad guy or something. And the kid's like, no, this is all a movie. I've seen it before. I'll tell you where the bad guy lives, Vivaldi, and we can go bust him. And so Chief is like, Jack, I think we found your new partner.
Yep.
The kid is an official employee of the LAPD now.
Well, he doesn't have to go up to the desk and get partnered with some rando, so it works out okay. Who would certainly die.
Right, right. Well, this kid still might. To prove, though, that it is a movie, he's like, I've got an idea. Let's go to Blockbuster Video, and I'll show you who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. And they go there, sure enough, and Terminator 2 poster. It's not Schwarzenegger on the cover. It's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, one of his best performances. Yeah. It is one of his best performances because he didn't fuck it up because he wasn't in it.
Are those two best friends?
I think they're pals. They used to not be.
Now, I got that picture of them getting the shoulder surgeries done. I think it's a late in life, like, hey, we're friends now.
Mm.
But they weren't before.
I don't know if it was if they were really adversaries, but they weren't friends.
There was a number of times that people had tried to put them in the same movie, and it just never worked out.
Yeah. But they are friends now.
I think everyone that's ever met Arnold Schwarzenegger is friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you watch a commentary with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the director, it's like you're listening to two people that just really are bonded heavily. It doesn't matter which director and how different they could be personality-wise. Every single time you are listening to a commentary with Schwarzenegger and the director, it's like, man, these guys really like each other.
It's 'cause
he's just a nice guy, apparently.
Well, is he still married to Maria Shriver?
No.
Because he banged the maid.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because the maid
had another, which I'm just like really fingers crossed for Mexican Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
10 years, gonna be great. He looks just like his real kids look like Maria Shriver. His illegitimate kid looks like a Mexican Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I'm super pumped.
And he could bring back Santo, like the return of
Santo. Oh shit, starring Santanegger.
Santanegger.
Oh my god.
So anyways, he's like, this isn't working out. What's your phone number, lady? And it's all 555. Everybody's got 555 phone numbers. And Schwaz is still like, yeah, that's why we have area codes, you stupid kid. And he's like, well, yeah, well, there's no unattractive woman. Look at her. Look at her. Uh-huh. Everybody's beautiful. Yeah, I know. It's L.A. I love
it. Yep, good joke. Angie Everhart's the counter lady.
That's true, yeah.
First appearance in a movie.
Oh, really?
Also, little trivia. One of the weirdest calls when they're just like throwing back to everything. Apparently, they had to do something here. So the movie on at the Blockbuster, 1992's Thunderheart with Val Kilmer.
Ooh.
Why that one?
Oof.
Huh. My mom loves that movie.
Yeah. So he takes Jack to Vivaldi's house. He's like, there it is. That's the one. Inside, they sure shit his odd job as a butler, which is pretty cool. Then he meets Charles Dance because he's like, we're here to see all of your drug dealers. And Charles Dance is like, you were looking for drug dealers? Yeah, are you a henchman? Well, I was told to see henchmen too. And he's like, no, I'm a lackey. But they know.
Yeah.
Jack Slater knows that something's fishy going on at this place. Little
verbal cat and mouse going on.
Yeah, here. Yeah. And then as they're leaving, Charles Dance overhears Danny going, well, he said this on the back. He called his boss a Sicilian schmuck. And he's like, what? How did that little kid know that?
And he's like, he's got a glass eye. Tell him to take off his sunglasses.
And also there's a pyramid of dogs that happens at one point during this.
Oh, my God. That was so awesome. And he's got to have a nice day, smiley face.
Yep.
Eyeball.
Yep. So he goes back to Jack's house. And inside is Veronica Vaughn. Who is
one fine piece of ace? I know from experience, dude.
No,
okay.
It's his daughter. What's her Sampras? Mrs. Sampras.
Yes,
I can never remember her first name.
Meredith Wilson Sampras. That's her name in the
Bridget
something Sampras.
Yeah, Bridget Sampras. First appearance ever for her.
Yeah, and since her only other movie is Billy Madison, she might not make it back.
Mortal Kombat.
Oh, God, she was in that.
Yeah, she's Sonya Blade.
Oh.
Raven Glavin.
Yeah, she was right to marry the yellow ball player.
I was wondering, because she didn't have a very illustrious career, and she's definitely pretty, but is she a trophy wife, or do you think she's a nice person?
Have you seen Pete Sampras lately? He did not age like wine.
Okay, so she's a nice person?
Or a trophy wife. I don't know. Who's to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they just have a nice time. I think Pete Sampras has got to be, like, rich as fuck.
He is rich as fuck,
so,
yes.
Like, there has to be a point where if they're still married, they've really gotten used to the idea that they just don't need to do fucking anything, so why bother?
Yeah, why bother? Living the dream. Jack sees a picture of his son in a drawer, the son that was held hostage, and it makes him sad. He's like, I got to get out of here. I'm going to go down to the dirty district and think about some things.
Yeah.
Well, and we figure out that, you know, because that film got cut off before we could see the ending of it. But we get to see the ending of that film now, and we figure out that his son was pulled off the roof by Ripper.
Right.
And killed.
And killed, yeah. So he's down a kid. But he's still got Whitney.
Yeah.
Veronica Vaughn.
I know that they're blood relatives, too. Because later in the film, she'll kick somebody in the balls and launch him across the room as well.
It's true, yeah.
So that runs in the family. The ability to give flights by testicles.
Hey, funny you should mention that, Sam, because it's happening right now.
Oh.
There's a knock at the door. It's Charles Dance and his thugs.
Yeah, he's got henchmen.
Yeah, he wants to find the golden ticket.
Uh-huh.
He's like, what's this thing? Cool, I'll just hang on to it.
He steals the kid's wallet.
Yeah.
Like, 14-year-old kid and you're stealing his wallet? What, do you need a spare rubber?
Okay. Yep.
This is L.A., Sam.
Exactly. Condoms are for sailors.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Navy boy, huh? Safe sex, people. Really.
So Danny gets a signal out to Jack by burning some phony money, blah, blah, blah. It's not. We don't need to go too deep into that. But in the back room where I think Whitney is about to get the bad business, she's like, no, I'm not having that. And she beats the shit out of this guy. All while screaming like a maniac.
Yeah, she's like, oh my God, I'm getting beat up so bad. Just kicking the shit out of this guy.
She's like slapping him in the face and shit.
She's like bite fighting, and it's pretty awesome. I do like this scene where she kicks the shit out of the guy. And Jack comes in through the roof and starts just killing guys left and right. All sorts of ways of doing it. Like grabbing guys by their own guns and making them shoot each other. He uses a lamp to electrocute a guy shooting other guys.
Oh, God, that was awesome.
He's slinging one-liners all over the place. I mean, like, it's so fast, we can't even keep up. But Dance gets away in the long game after taking out all these guys. And Jack is like, huh, you're not getting away that easily. And he just jumps right off his balcony like a cliff, like the hills of Beverly, jumps right off of him.
And then continues to jump down the hill doing like acrobatics, handsprings, somersaults, all the way down. It's great.
Oh, it's hilarious. And he lands in the middle of the road, and he's like, starts plugging away at the car, which causes Dance to turn around and head back up the street. While Danny's coming in the other direction on a girl's bicycle that he found. He's like, oh, yeah, we're in the movies. We're going to play a game of chicken.
It seems like when he's shooting the car, though, the car's actually spinning around in circles like a top. Like he's propelling it around in circles with the gun.
Yeah.
And the whole time, Charles Dance is like, we need to get more armored vehicles. Oh, my God.
A Lannister always pays his debts. Well, it's not going to work out for Danny because he's the comedy relief.
Yeah.
He can't play chicken. He'll get squashed.
Yeah.
And he figures it out just in the nick of time.
And we get our second E.T. homage.
Yeah.
Because the first time it was Arnold Schwarzenegger doing a handspring from roof to roof. And now it's him riding, Danny riding the bike across the moon.
E.T. does handsprings?
But he's in front of the moon, so it's sort of E.T.-ish, right? Okay, they do it twice. Yeah. You got to be E.T. twice.
Or maybe it's just implying that the moon is huge in movies.
It's E.T. shit.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Dance goes home and discovers that the magic ticket has powers.
Uh-huh.
It's like, what the shit? Oh, I'm going to have to look deeper into this. I'll call the guys at the Citadel. Well,
no.
Not getting it back to Game of Thrones.
So if he's me, I'd be like waiting for the part in Close Encounters where Richard Dreyfuss leaves for a long time, and then you swoop in there, Terry Garr's by herself at home. Hey, what are you doing? So I...
Yeah, I tried to get to Game of Thrones, and you're trying to get to Close Encounters?
I'm trying to get into Terry Garr's pants still. This has been going for a while.
That's an odd segue. You're always trying to segue into Terry Garr's
exactly.
pants.
Exactly. Okay, right. A bridge too far.
So, back at Jack's house, there's the crime scene cleanup guys are there, and they're picking up all the bodies, and they're like, Jesus H. Christ. And one of them finds a glass eye, and he's like, oh, there's some writing on it, and twists it, and it says something like, hey, guess what? Kaboom.
Revenge is mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which blows up Jack's house.
Everybody dies but Jack, Danny, and his daughter.
Right. Which causes the police, I guess that means you're fired, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. Cut to them still smoldering in the chief's office.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It is funny.
Why would the chief fire him, though?
Because he blew up his own house.
He did, and Charles Dance did.
Yep. You're fired.
You're fired.
I've had it with you.
Okay. Well, he's got a spare apartment, I guess, which is where he actually really lives.
Yeah, he really is, his life is a very hollow existence.
Yeah, there's nothing inside of this apartment except for a guy in the fucking closet.
It's always a guy in the closet.
Yeah, he walks in, blows the wood, shoots through the closet. How did you know there was a guy in there? There's always a guy in there.
Yeah. And besides awesome. That guy, all there is just sadness and $1 million William Goldman rewrite.
Right.
Well, in the closet, though, other than the ninja, like he's got six pairs of the same cowboy boots.
Uh-huh.
He's just got the same clothes he's got
same
on.
Same red shirt, same brown leather jacket.
It right. looks a lot like my closet.
Just four black shirts.
Yeah, I have like... four copies of three different things. It's not a lot different, though.
Well, eventually they get out of this apartment by putting it together that there's going to be a funeral for this mobster guy named Leo. Leo the Fart.
Yep.
And he figures out that there's a nerve gas bomb inside of Leo the Fart. So Leo the Fart at his funeral is going to pass gas one last time.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy. And his cop buddy is in on it, played by F. Murray Abraham we
yes.
didn't even talk about up to this point.
Because everybody in the movie is somebody.
Right. His role doesn't really matter, though. But he
killed Mozart.
Yeah, he killed Mozart.
That's, yeah, see, that's what it is. He's a running joke.
Yeah. He's they go to the hotel where the funeral is taking place on the roof, and F. Murray Abraham gets them, like, ah, gotcha, suckers, and chains Danny to a post, but Danny gets free, and he's like, oh, yeah, I got you, sucker, but Danny forgot the one thing to never do, laugh when death is on the line with a Sicilian,
and then the Charles Dance and Anthony Quinn show up.
Yeah, they get everybody.
Double Dutch door business.
But a cartoon cat saves them.
Yes.
Voiced by Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm. Hey. It was stated earlier when he's like, it's a cartoon cat. Like, that cat's one of my best men.
Right.
And it's true because that cat saves the day.
And this is at the Long Beach Hyatt. And me and Justin have been there.
That's true.
So this is where the movie starts getting good for me.
So they go up on the roof and Schwoz steals Leo's body by pretending he's a doctor and that Leo's still alive, which is hilarious. And Danny gets into a crane and starts bringing the crane over because
yeah.
I guess they're going to just, like, chuck Leo the Fart into the ocean? I don't really know what their game plan is.
Point B isn't really clear.
Right.
Point A is kid in a crane, Schwoz with a dead guy, fireman's carry.
But you know what was even better, and I really don't want to skip this part, is when Evil Eye goes up to the coffin to pay his respects, and he pulls the fart's finger.
Right, to engage the bomb.
Oh, yeah. The
fart bomb. He pulls his finger. The clock starts ticking down. Hilarious. So they get him rigged up to the crane after the whole ordeal, and Jack dives off the roof because the mobster guys that are at the funeral are shooting at him, and they end up in a tar pit after a complicated scene, which the bomb goes off and the La Brea tar pit keeps the nerve gas contained,
I guess.
Okay, all right.
The bubble subsides. Doesn't make sense. Gonna make it out at some point.
And Dance comes back to the bad guy headquarters, Vivaldi's place, and he's had enough of losing. Like, oh yeah, things went fucking great today. It was a real, like, everything went perfectly, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
People were wiggling around on the roof and crying and...
Oh, really? That sounds great. No, that's not how it went. We fucking got our ass kicks thanks to this Jack Slater. You know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of you. Blows his boss away. Yeah. And he's going to use the ticket. He's like, I think this is the key to me being the ultimate bad guy. I don't know what it does, but I'm going to use it because it's clearly magic. Jack drives through the wall in Whitney's truck, Whitney's big truck, crushes the house. It's pretty dumb when he comes in. Doesn't look quite right, but I like it. And chucks Charles Dance, into the wall, which is a time portal, leading him into 1991's Beastmaster 2 LA, where he fights Richard Lynch.
No.
To the death.
It's the other
in
guy.
A,
Wings Hauser.
Oh, yeah, it was Wings Hauser. That's right. I always get those two mixed up.
Charles Dance is, he's like, he just shows up and he's like, nope, I will not appear in a picture with Wings Hauser. And then Wings just starts laying it on thick. Just starts doing some lines from Hamlet.
And Richard Lynch is just combing his hair in the background. Yeah,
Richard Lynch is like, show me some cash, I'll get out there and roll around on the ground. Fuck it.
Time to die, Benedict. All right, so Jack and Danny are like, we gotta go too. We gotta stop him. That's my world. So they go through the wall, and they chase Charles Dance up to an alleyway for a game of chicken, because they steal some cars. And this game of chicken is just the cars crashing into each other, because it's not going to work out in the real world. All the real world rules don't apply to these movie guys now.
But at the same time, like, Schwoz is okay and explains, like, the constitution of the two cars and his inner math that he used to survive.
Well, the Mercury Sable had an airbag. The taxi cab did not.
Yeah.
But Charles Dance wasn't in the car, and they don't know where he went. So Danny takes Jack to his house to meet his mom, and she thinks that he's Arnold Schwarzenegger for a little bit. He's like, Mom, I met somebody. He told me I needed friends. It's Arnold.
It's my real dad.
Yeah, he's my real father.
He used to be the maid.
Meanwhile, Dance is wandering around New York City, causing all sorts of chaos because he realizes that if in this pre-Giuliani New York, he could just shoot a guy and nothing happens.
Yep.
Jack Slater doesn't burst through the wall.
Giuliani! Save the town.
Yeah, there's no Kool-Aid man that punches you.
Well, I think it's funny because he shoots the mechanic and he's like, or no, well, the first thing he sees is somebody else gets shot, right?
Right, nothing happens.
And they steal the guy's shoes. Get his shoes!
Killed him and stole his shoes? That's it?
He peed in those shoes. They're high quality now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Resistant to athlete's foot.
And I loved this scene where he goes into the mechanic shop, right? Shoots some guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just stands out there and he's like, I've just murdered somebody. And he's like shouting it at the top of his
Hello,
lungs.
Hello, does anybody care? Yeah. I killed a man on purpose.
And then somebody goes, hey, shut up down there.
This place rules.
Yep.
So after an evening of conversation with Danny's mom, they put it together that Charles Dance is going to go into the other movies and steal guys from those to use as weapons in New York City, our world.
Yes.
So he can, like, go get Freddy. He can go get Kaiser Sose.
That would be a boring one.
He can go get Darth. You know, bring in Darth.
Yeah. That would suck.
He could go get the guy that runs BIM Records from the Apple.
Oh.
Let's talk about what he does have planned here, because it's just as bad, right? We see the newspaper thing. It's like an old black and white Dracula.
No. Well, it was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That would have been Gary Oldman.
Yeah. Oh.
And he's got sleepwalkers.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
He's going to get some
we
cat
We
can't
people. Go to sleepwalkers because there's a super cop in that movie.
Yeah, that's
He'll
why
never
was,
make it back
he was scribbled out.
He just scratched it out. He was like,
Clovis.
Clovis will fuck up my whole plan.
Yeah, Clovis is tougher than Jack Slater. That's really saying something. But instead, he goes and pulls out the Ripper from Jack Slater 3.
Yeah, why not? Because they don't have to pay for more money for this one.
Correct. And they spot him. They're wandering around. They see him and realize that he's going to go to the Jack Slater 4 premiere that's happening tonight just up the street, because Schwaz, actual Arnold Schwarzenegger, is there. And if the Ripper kills him, that will also vicariously kill Jack Slater, because there will be no more Jack Slater. Well, the only way there'd be more Jack Slater is if somebody else played Jack Slater, which would never happen.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't seem. I don't think so, because there's so many copies of the movie that it's like they would kill this carbon copy of Jack Slater. It doesn't matter.
Hmm. Jackie, do you think if you kill Schwaz, it's going to kill Jack Slater?
Oh, you kill Schwaz, you kill Jack Slater.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, you kill Jack Slater in the real world, it doesn't fucking matter.
Right. That is correct.
Okay.
But they're not trying to kill Jack Slater, they're trying to kill Schwaz.
Yeah, this didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Okay. Well,
because apparently they're two separate entities.
No, they're not. They're one and the same.
But the movie's already been made.
No, right, but what about Jack Slater 5?
The character already exists. The movie's already been made.
No, it's Jack Slater 4. There will always be more Jack Slater movies, Jackie. As long as the ticket sales are good, Jack Slater won't die. Unless you kill Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
Okay.
So Schwaz is there at the premiere with Maria Shriver. Hi, Maria. Awkward. Little Richard's there. Jean-Claude Van Damme's there.
Everybody's there.
Chevy Chase is there. Yeah.
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi, Damon Wayans. Man, cameo fest.
Mm-hmm. Damon Wayans from The Last Boy Scout, written by Shane Black.
Oh, yep.
That movie stinks.
It stinks. So the Ripper goes in there and Danny spots him, and Jack tries to get to Schwaz to like save him. Like, I don't even like you, but I'm going to save you because you're a douchebag. You're not even cool in real life. I think. Like, you're one of those Hollywood pussies. I crush you. No?
I don't know.
I put my head between my bicep and smash it with the power.
His own head?
Yeah, with your head that is played by my head. Or
God, I'm so confused. Where the hell is this going?
I don't know. So instead, Schwaz tackles Jack like, you fucking troublemaker.
Yep.
You're fucking this whole premiere up, and it turns out I am also badass because I can tackle you, who are badass.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like he's never been to a big movie premiere.
Jack Slater.
This shouldn't be a surprise.
Or
this
Arnold
was a put on, right?
Schwaz should not be surprised.
Schwaz shouldn't be surprised. Oh, they got a put on going.
He thinks it's a publicity stunt.
Yeah, so he should know. He's like, I went to the Star Wars opening night. Get the fuck out of there. They're going to start the movie. Quit sword fighting.
Yeah, you look just like me.
I'm you. Well, we were both dressed like Luke Skywalker.
Okay. And the Ripper grabs Danny and takes him to the rooftop because the whole gig is up. And he's like, you know what? Let's talk. We know what's going to happen here, Jack. So instead, I'm just going to skip to the end, the good part. And I'm chucking this kid off the roof. So he chucks Danny off the roof.
And I was so excited.
Yay!
Hooray! Danny's dead.
And then Jack gets his axe and chops, like, the power thing.
Yeah, he electrocutes
him. Yeah, he electrocutes him. Yeah.
He electrocutes him, and it shows, like, the movie knows that he can't be electrocuted because he's got rubber gloves on. Mm-hmm. He's standing in boots. He's wearing a slicker. But he's electrocuted and dies anyway.
Right. And Danny's not dead. He's hanging off the next roof on a gargoyle. Damn it. But Jack gets down there, grabs him, tosses him on the roof. He's safe. And then Dance shows up. He's like, all right, well, you've killed the Ripper, but that's not enough. I can do whatever I want. I have all the power. And I can't miss. And he's shooting bullets at him. Yeah. He's hitting them, but not hitting them because they're behind an object. So he's hitting the object, but so he's not missing, sort of, but he is kind of missing.
He gives a variation of the Megaforce speech.
Right, right.
Like, in this world, the bad guys can win.
Yeah, and he shoots Jack in the chest.
Yeah, which at this point, when he says that out loud, why are you even bothering fucking with any of these people if you realize you can be this criminal mastermind? Go on to something interesting.
Because Jack Slater will stop him.
Yeah, that's true. And that he's that shallow of a character that he doesn't even know he's just a dog chasing a car.
Right.
What happens when you do win, buddy?
Yeah.
What do you win?
Oh,
shit.
Hmm.
Wait a second.
Good point. So he shoots Jack in the chest. Oh boy, Jack. And at this point, Danny does a big elbow off the top ropes and tackles Charles Dance.
He just flies.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
A bat whack and then has his gun.
Yeah.
Where was this bat kid?
And he shoots Charles Dance, who explodes.
Explodes
in magic. Or flammable material.
It doesn't make any sense because it's if he shot the ticket, then it would explode, maybe explode Charles Dance. Mm. But then it shows the ticket not with a bullet hole through it tumbling down.
Right. It's like he shot Charles Dance, who was made of magic or gasoline, explodes, yeah, causing the golden ticket to fly away.
I guess.
Huh. Jackie, got any theories?
I think he's still alive.
Charles Dance?
Yeah.
I hope so.
I think the explosion was just when ninjas throw that dust and shit.
Yeah,
in front of him.
Or Batman.
He had another eye.
Batman. Yeah.
Yeah, he took out his eye, threw it on the ground. It looks like there's an explosion, but he actually ran away.
Cool.
And he dropped the ticket and he was like, fuck. And he's trying to get down there to get it, but then he doesn't.
Yeah. Then he figured out how to be a real bad guy and became a lobbyist.
Right. the ticket's laying on the ground. Danny's like, oh my God, you're dying, Jack. I got to do something about you. But what has happened by the ticket landing in front of another movie theater, it has awakened death from the Seventh Seal that's playing at the movie theater, who is played now by Ian McKellen.
And this is when the movie breaks its own rule.
Why is that?
Death brings his power from the movie.
Okay. All right. That was my only question. Does this film break any of its own rules?
Yes, because he kills the cop.
Right.
He's death.
He's death.
He's not death from the movie. He's death.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't, does it? He should be just an actor.
Otherwise, Jack Slater gets to bring his invulnerability business.
Right.
Luck. His grand luck, basically.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does that. Danny's trying to get Jack back to the theater because if they can get him into the movie, then, his powers will come back and he won't actually be dying from being shot directly in the chest.
It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah, right. Death walks in and he's like, no, don't kill him, man. You can't take him. And he's like, take him. It's fucking Ian McKellen, dude. I fucking love that guy.
Yeah.
Just anytime he speaks, I'm like, yeah, you're right, Death. You're cool, man. You are fucking cool, Death. You are a cool guy. You know that?
But then he says something like, I'm not here for him.
He's
I'm not
even
here
on
for
my
you.
List.
Why are you here? I'm not. I'm turning around and leaving.
Well, he was curious because that
guy wasn't on his list.
Right.
Yeah, that does make sense that he walked in there.
Yes. And he's like,
and you're going to die a grandfather.
But for now, maybe there's one thing you could still do. You could find that ticket.
Yep. Or some small gentleman for me to hang out with.
Or all the people should die and mutants should rule the world. Also, Patrick Stewart is my best friend and I am totally gay. And cool as shit! Love Ian McKellen.
I'm a Nazi. Don't go in my basement.
What? No!
That's that pupil.
Oh, okay.
And to bring that one in there.
So he gets him back in the movie after a tearful goodbye, using the ticket, and Jack ends his career as a stereotype. He's now going to be a legitimate cop, which also breaks the rule, because then there wouldn't be any more Jack Slater movies, meaning that he dies.
But he doesn't. It's a flesh wound.
Yeah. Right, but he would die, because the kid says as soon as ticket sales disappear, you wouldn't die until ticket sales disappear. So now that he's going to be a good cop, nobody's going to go to these movies. The end of Jack Slater.
Well, it's pretty much the end of Schwarzenegger, so I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
And McTiernan.
Yeah.
He retreated to his ranch for like 2 years and thought about retiring all the way. Came back to the 13th Warrior, got Final Cut ripped out from underneath him, hasn't done a lot since.
And Danny goes to Nick, and he's like, oh, man, I would have never been able to do this without you, Nick, this magic ticket. And Nick is like, is it the ticket that's magic, or is the magic inside of you, Danny?
And he's like, well, you ripped it in half for the first time, and there was magic, dickhead. It's probably the ticket.
Well, and the guy's like, can I have it back?
No!
I want to go visit. And he starts talking about all these movies he's going to go to.
He's going to pull a Sam and go check out Terry Garr.
Yep.
I don't think there is any magic inside of Danny. I think he's a little asshole.
Yeah. Oh, Danny sucks.
Bring me your questions, guys.
I really only have one question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the biggest missed opportunity of the film. When they bring back Tom Noonan's character, should they have incorporated that? They should have incorporated the bad guy from another movie. I think. Do you think that?
What do you mean?
They should have brought in like Freddy Krueger or something. Like, or they should have. Like, it would have.
Hans Gruber.
Well, they can't get him because he was too expensive.
That's right. Yeah.
No Hans Gruber.
Yeah, no, I think that is a missed opportunity. Even if it was somebody cheap, Freddy would have been perfect because Robert Englund would do it. Freddy is copyrighted. I know the visage of Freddy is copyrighted, but you could do Jason because you can't copyright him because he's just a hockey mask.
Sony could have done something that they owned by that point.
Yeah.
They could have done another Columbia bad guy.
Yeah, anything.
And I think it would have been a really good. It would have been a lot more fun.
Uh-huh. And also, like, the bad guy discovers that his powers don't work in this universe, but it doesn't take him very long to still do what he does, murder people,
and
because you don't need the powers to be that big of a maniac. It strengthens the character.
And also that you'd have that sort of satirical end scene where they're adversaries but don't really know each other.
Right.
It would have been way better than rehashing the goddamn axe thing.
Very good point. Jackie?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Mine got answered about breaking its own rules. Now, final recommendations. This is my movie, so I'll go first and kind of lay some groundwork. I've got some things to say about this film. I love it. The problem I have with it is every second where they're not inside Jack Slater's world.
Yeah.
It's any time, again, you come into our world, that's not what we're here for, we don't fucking care, and it stretches out the film for too long, and you start going, okay, all the momentum that kept me in on this silly bullshit has been taken away.
Yes.
Now I gotta sit here for 40 fucking minutes while they chase around my world, and, like, again, some missed opportunities. But this, even if they had those, it's not going to ever be as fun or as interesting as Jack Slater 4.
There was just a bunch of missed opportunities. Even if you're going to do the real world, what you're going to have to do is incorporate more of the movie world into it. As I'm saying, bring in another movie bad guy.
Right.
Bring the cat back in.
Yeah.
The cartoon cat in the real world. Like, things that would be fun if you're here. Like, more of the movie has to show up because that's what has been fun for the viewer at this point. It's absent for the last half of the movie almost.
Yes, and that's I'm afraid its biggest weakness. But other than that, they are correct. This script is fucking deadly as far as its satire of the action genre. It's top notch. I don't know if there's ever been, because I mean, you know, Key and Peele do a lot of spoof on action movies and they're very good at, but I don't even know if they're as good as this at spoofing action movies. This is so knows what's going on in minute details inside of action movies that it explodes into huge jokes that you don't even think about until this film does it. But then it, you know, the second half is just like, oh, shut up. Danny is atrocious the first time you see him. I will say on the third view, Danny didn't drive me nuts as much as the first two times.
No, but that's, I would have pulled his head off the second time I watched it. Like, because that was, I think, the most that I enjoyed it was the second time, which has been, it's only been like 6-8 months, right?
Yeah, I think.
But I, it was like, God, this is hilarious. Can I pull that kid's head off? I just want to pull his head off of his shoulders and hookshot it into a basket.
My final thing, though, is it's still a very strong do. I love this movie. Sam?
It's a do. When, especially because I, how much I hate it. I saw it at the theater and was ultimately very disappointed by it. But then revisiting it, you know, 15 years later, like, this is fucking hilarious.
15 years later? What year do you think this is?
This movie's 20...
Yeah, it hasn't been 15 years. Yeah, it's been 24 years.
No, the first time I revisited it was probably 15 years
ago. I thought you, the first time you revisited it was 6 months ago.
Yeah, maybe it's been 26... 20 however many years later, this movie's funny.
All right, Jackson, your thoughts.
This is the first time I've ever seen this.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you both. I did not really enjoy when they came back to our world. Same thing for, you know, because that was my biggest bitch about the Beastmaster, too.
Right, right.
I don't like
that. Yeah, we hate
that.
Our world.
Yeah. I don't want to be in my world.
Nope,
I want to be in
sucks.
Your world.
Yeah.
That's why I go to the movies. And how sarcastic and self-aware the movie was just fucking hilarious. Like, I loved that whole scene where they pull up in front of Vivaldi's house and Arnold Schwarzenegger's like, oh, so now you're the best detective ever because all of my years of police academy school, blah, 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 blah. And then he gets up there and he's just such an asshole. He's
yeah,
like,
right.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for the drug dealers.
It points out that every character, if you think about them too much, is an asshole inside a film. Like, every action guy, the tough cop, Riggs Murtaugh, Dirty Harry, they're all fucking dicks.
The only good cop out there is a cartoon cat.
Right, right.
That's a very strong statement. And true.
Right. Yeah, it knows. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strong dude for me. I laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
It was just, this was a great movie.
And I think that there's probably a strong, a large group of people that still think that this is like, they haven't seen it because they think, oh, this is going to be like Jingle All the Way bad.
This is cinematic poison.
Right. There was no way that this was going to work.
No.
No, not a chance.
Even if it wasn't trying to fucking dethrone Jurassic Park a week later.
They should have thrown a dinosaur in there somewhere, yeah, other than the tar pits.
Right.
Other than Art Carney.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh! Anthony Quinn.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't going to work in any way, shape, or form, but I think there's still like a stigmata on this film that people won't, no, that's crap. I don't want to ever see it. And then you go back and rewatch it and you're like, holy shit, there was a lot of goddamn good in this
thing. There was a lot of good. I think that if you gave McTiernan $60 million and twice as long, just take $25 million away from him, give him twice as long to do it so they can work around that original script, this would be like one of those like great movies.
Right.
It would have never done good in theaters,
right,
but it would be like
Joe versus the Volcano type.
Yeah, 20 years later, retrospective, you'd be like, well, that's a great fucking movie.
Right.
Now, it's still a really fun fucking movie, but it could have been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Which makes it one of our bad movies debunked episodes.
Yeah, it's over the top of good, even though Danny sucks so bad.
All right, now comes the exciting part, guys. The SMAPFA nominations. Now, if you are one of our newer fans and you're unfamiliar with what the SMAPFAs are, they are our annual award show for the movies of the previous year. They're like the Razzies, but by smart people, I guess. Is that how we'd put it?
Let's just say we're a more selective committee.
Yeah, right. And a little bit more in depth. But what we do each year is we take qualify for the SMAPFAs, we take every film that has a Rotten Tomato score of 20% or lower and had a wide release. We don't do VOD, we don't do limited run, cans, movies, anything like that. These are major films, all scoring under 20 with a couple outliers if we decide that they need to be in there. We have this year, the same categories as last year, best bad movie, worst bad movie, Best Bad Actor, Worst Bad Actor, Best Bad Actress, Worst Bad Actress, and the Mystery Science Theater 3000 Riffability Award.
Yeah.
We take all those movies that we watch, and then we nominate them, and then vote on them, and whoever wins, wins. Our categories this year, or our eligible films. In fact, I'm just going to run down this list.
Sure.
Of what films were eligible.
We usually get between 15 and 20. That's where we bring in the outliers or the nominees. Like, we each get to pick one that was sort of, even if it didn't have, like, I think I picked King Arthur and it was up in the 40s. Mm-hmm. But I was like, no, this, it did so bad that
it was,
we have to at least give a look at it. 40s
in the Metascore credit. Yeah. It was below 20. But either way, the list goes Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, Transformers Last Night, The Dark Tower, Space Between Us, Rings, Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, 50 Shades Darker, Collateral Beauty, The Mummy, Geostorm, The Snowman, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, Valerian, and The City of a Thousand Planets, The Great Wall, The Shack, and Flatliners.
And isn't Collateral Beauty special circumstances? Because it's
right. It released on December 31st, Christmas Day of 2016, which means we couldn't. There was no time that we could have got to it for. So we're including it in the 2017s because of 6 days. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
The bulk of its theater run was during 2017. So now, some fun things that happened this year in this MAFA of nominations. It is too contentious. Like.
Super. Usually when we do it, there's like 3 to 5 movies, maybe even more that we watch that just don't get any nominations. And it's just like, we got to talk about it. Like, oh, we watched this and it became insignificant.
One or two that are like dead on locks, like Mordecai.
Mordecai.
We all knew it was going to win a bunch of the worst bad categories. But this year, that's not the case.
Contentious year. Deep. It's not a deep field. It's a wide and shallow field.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to hear what they are.
Well, unfortunately, the list is too long. It will take way too long to read out on the podcast. So we are going to put the nominations in our show notes. I'll make some highlights here. Anybody want to care to guess who has the most nominations?
I'm going
to
guess Geostorm has the most nominations.
Geostorm is number 3, tied at 3 with
6. I didn't even get to guess.
God damn it. Well, okay, go ahead. It's not Geostorm.
For which one?
Just the most nominations in general.
Oh, I'm going with the Knights. The Great Wall.
The Great Wall? That only had 5 nominations. The Mummy.
Oh, the
has
Mummy.
7 nominations tied with Triple X Return of Xander Cage.
But I think that they have nominations going in different directions.
Yes, I think so as well. So Mummy and Triple X both had 7. Geostorm, The Snowman, and Valerian all had 6. Then Great Wall, Collateral Beauty, 50 Shades, and Resident Evil had 5, and then it kind of loosely goes from there. Every movie did receive nominations, including The Shack and Flatliners with 2 each. You know what? Let's just go through the best bad and the worst bads. Best bad movie, because there is one of really interest that Jackie... I want to talk about something she did.
something that you have done.
Best bad movie nods. The Great Wall, Geostorm, Rings, Triple X, Return of Xander Cage, The Snowman.
I thought that movie was pretty awesome.
Huh. The Dark Tower, The Space Between Us, Valerian and King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Worst bad movie, The Mummy, Collateral Beauty, Transformers The Last Night, The Snowman, Sam... our cohort, Martini Shark, and myself all nominated for Worst Bad Movie. She nominates it for best.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I thought it was good.
We had that happen because, the year that fucking Mordecai ran away with everything, Martini had it on, Brad had it for Best Bad. He loved it.
Yeah.
It was goddamn hard. So there is usually one of us that's like, wait, you guys are on the wrong page here. And like, no, sir, you are.
Rounding out the rest of the worst bad movies are Resident Evil, The Final Chapter, Geostorm. She also nominated Geostorm for worst bad.
I did not like Geostorm.
Huh.
Flatliners, Underworld, Blood Wars, and 50 Shades Darker. So there you go. We'll just go through anybody who got nominated for worst and Best Actor, Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem, really? Yeah.
Best and worst category.
I put him on the bad side. I did not like him.
No.
That was the Pirates of the Caribbean guy, right?
Yeah.
I like that guy.
And it's too bad that Gary Oldman didn't really fuck up anything. He just did Gary Oldman business. It was just a bad cast for The Space Between Us, because I thought it was going to be one of those where he gets the Razzie and the Oscar in the same year. But
yeah, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Matt Damon received nominations for both Best and Worst Actor.
I didn't care either way for Matt. I was just like, meh.
Yeah, he didn't make any of my lists.
Nina
Dobrev.
She got for Best and Worst because I put her for Best in, she was like third down in my Best for XXX, but like second down in my Worst for Flatliners because she Jekyll and Hyde's this year.
Yeah.
I did not care.
Rihanna got Best and Worst for her role in Valerian.
Ooh.
I put her on one of my lists.
Yeah. Oh, everybody nominated Rihanna for one thing. It just depends on what side of the view you have. And then MST3K, Riffability, Rings, The Great Wall, Geostorm, The Snowman, Resident Evil, Final Chapter, 50 Shades Darker, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, The Space Between Us, The Mummy, and The Dark Tower. So lots of nominees this year.
Things are,
it's going to be hard to choose from.
Wide open.
Yeah. But
I feel like there's one person, I'm not going to name any names, but if there's one person that if she doesn't win Best Bad Actress, I'm going to be really sort of jaded and surprised.
Wait a second. I think I have the same feeling, but about somebody totally different. Oh. So I think we might have a four-way tie of all, like everybody votes for a different thing four ways each time. And we're going to have, it's going to be interesting. There might be some upsets because of how contentious this field is. So second and third place votes might be the most important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads us to our next episode, which will be the SMABFAs themselves, the Stinker Madness Achievements in Bad Filmmaking Awards. So pretty stoked. It's usually a two-parter, too. No,
not usually.
No, it's not usually a two-parter. We'll do a one-parter this year. So check that out.
Give us a phone call.
Yeah, give us a phone call. We would also like to know, guys, we might do some polling on our website for the SMABFAs, put the nominations up, and we'll do a little bit of fan voting this week, too. You guys want to do that?
People's champion.
Yeah, the people's champion.
Let's throw that out there. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, it won't be official, and it won't mean anything. And if you're wrong, we'll be like, nope, the people are stupid.
the retards.
Well, we'll let you have an opinion at least.
Yeah, if it's completely against what we think, we'll tweet out some bullshit and yell vindication.
Yeah. So go to SeekerBandits.com, and I'll put the poll up probably Monday as well. So, anything else, guys?
Get to the Bonneville.
Get to your Bonneville.
Call me on the phone.
What?
I want somebody to call me and talk to me on our phone thing.
Yeah.
Get at the shop.
Visit us at www.stinkermadness.com. Follow Stinker Madness on Twitter at Stinker Madness. Please rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for listening, and get to the chopper.